Today we're continuing in our series of praying through the names of God, and I would invite you, if you find the teaching notes there in your bulletin, to follow along as we go through this message together and to write things down as you feel God may be calling you to do so. He was a beloved actor. I don't think I ever heard anyone say, "I don't like Robin Williams." Robin Williams was funny. He was talented. He was Mork from Ork. Anybody remember Mork and Mindy? Yes. He was Mrs. Doubtfire. Yes. He was Patch Adams. He was the radio disc jockey in the Army who said, "Good morning, Vietnam." By every standard that our society uses, Robin Williams was successful. He had money. He had accolades. He had family. He had a humanitarian spirit. He truly seemed to have it all. And yet, almost 5 years ago now, at the age of 63, Robin Williams took his own life. Most of us didn't know at the time that this very talented and very funny man had been struggling much of his life with depression and addiction. And at the time of his death, there was so much written about this. And there's one thing that just kept swirling around in my mind, something a newspaper columnist quoted. He wrote, "Be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle that you may not be able to see." I wish we could keep those words in mind all the time. Be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle that you may not see. We simply never know what the people around us are going through. We never know what they're trying to handle, what demons they're facing, what life circumstances may be weighing them down. Every one of us, in some way, is fighting a battle. Sometimes it's a battle for your marriage or a battle for your kids. Sometimes it's a battle with your health or a battle with grief. Sometimes it's a battle with feelings of inadequacy or with fatigue or with loneliness. Sometimes it's a battle just to get through another day. And sometimes the battle is toward a good thing, like a dream that God has put in your heart, and you're battling to see that dream become a reality. All of us face battles, different battles, at different times. Be kind. Be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle that you may know nothing about. All of us face battles. But here's the good news I want to share with you this morning as we look at the next of our names for God. I want you to know that whatever battle you are facing, you do not have to face it alone. Today we're focusing on a name that is revealed just one time in the scripture, and it's revealed in Exodus 17, this passage we're going to look at today, and that name is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Now in this context, a banner was carried at the head of an army or planted high on a hill, and it served as a rallying point for the troops before battle. And later we see a banner also as an announcement of a victory that has been won. When you pray to Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, you are trusting that God is able. Whatever battles we face, God is able. When we meet the Israelites here in Exodus 17, there in the wilderness, on the journey toward the land that the Lord God has promised them, and they face a battle like they had never faced before. Verse 8 tells us that Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Now let's think about Israel at this point. Recently freed slaves, wandering in the desert, following a shepherd named Moses, totally dependent on God for everything. They don't have an army. They've never fought a battle. And here are these experienced warriors of Amalek coming out to fight them. They are in a battle that, by their own strength, they cannot win. And as I think about their circumstances back then, I'm reminded of something the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, when he says that as followers of Jesus, we are up against a powerful enemy too. In verse 12, he says, we are not fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. Ooh, that's heavy. Therefore, he says, pick up the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground on the evil day, and after you have done everything possible, to still stand. Last Sunday night, we had a wonderful bell choir concert here, and the praise ringers, among a number of songs that they played this song that many of us learned as little kids in Sunday school. And if you know this song, I'm going to ask that you sing it with me, and if you want to do the motions, you can do that too. Are you ready? You ready, Mr. George? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, do you remember the next verse of that song? We sing it with the kids in chapel time here on Tuesday morning, and it goes like this. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You know, we do have an enemy with a capital E who is at work to blow out that little light of yours, to steal your joy, to put a damper on your enthusiasm for Jesus, to tempt you to turn away from God in the midst of your day-to-day life. And just like the Israelites long ago in the battle, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, calls us to look up. To stop relying on our own strength alone. To remember, He's with us. Look at verse 9. Moses said to Joshua, choose some men for us and go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the shepherd's rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him. He fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel would start winning the battle. And whenever Moses lowered his hand, Amalek would start winning. You know, this is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible about fighting a battle. Moses sends Joshua out to choose some men to fight Amalek because they don't even have an army. They have no training, they have no weapons, maybe just a few things they were able to pick up along the way to the battle. A ragtag group. And as these Israelites and the Amorites are ready to fight, Moses and his older brother Aaron and his brother-in-law Hur go to the top of the hill. And when Moses holds up the shepherd's rod of God, Israel starts winning the battle. And when he lowers the shepherd's rod, Amalek starts to win. The shepherd's rod of God. It plays a prominent role in the story of Moses. When God appears to Moses back in Midian in the burning bush, when he's out watching over the sheep, Moses asks for a sign, and God tells him to throw his shepherd's rod on the ground, and when he does, it turns into a snake. And then he picks it back up again, and it's the shepherd's rod again. And then, many years later, when the Israelites are fleeing Egypt and Pharaoh's army is charging on close behind them, Moses lifts up his shepherd rod of God, and the waters of the Red Sea part, and Israel crosses on dry ground. And then Moses lifts up the rod again, and the waters come crashing down on Pharaoh's army. And then at the beginning here of Exodus 17, the Israelites are thirsty in the desert and they're grumbling. And God commands Moses to take his shepherd's rod and to strike a rock. And when he does, water comes gushing forth. Now, Moses is not a sorcerer. And this shepherd's rod is not a magic wand that Moses waves around and says, voila, it's a miracle. This rod is a powerful symbol to Moses and the people that God is able to do for them what they cannot do for themselves. And when Moses takes that rod in his hand and lifts it up, he's turning the battle over to God. And when God's people turn their battles over to God, they always prevail. It may not happen immediately. Exodus says this battle went on all day until sunset. But Jehovah Nissi shall win the battle, whatever it is, always. Now, we may not have a shepherd's rod like Moses did, but the God of Israel, the God revealed to us in Jesus Christ, calls us to turn every battle we face over to God. And as we do, we trust that God is able to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Jehovah Nissi calls us to pray. And in prayer, we connect with the power of God. We connect with the presence of God. We connect with the peace of God. Jehovah Nissi calls us to look up. Whatever we're facing, he's got us covered. And in the battle, Jehovah Nissi also calls us to look around. To look around. That's the next point in our notes. I love the next part of this story. It says in verse 12, but Moses' hands grew tired. So Aaron and Hur took a stone and put it under Moses so he could sit down. And then they held up his hands, one on each side of him, so that his hands remained steady all day long until the sunset. Now take a look at this famous portrayal of that scene. And what I want you to notice is the eyes of those characters. How intent they are as they're watching this battle go on. Moses is determined to keep his hands lifted, to call on the power of God until Israel prevails. But Moses is an old guy, and he's weary. And they're just hanging on, Aaron and Hur, lifting up his arms. And it reminds us, as we look at that, of how important it is for you and me to lift one another up, to support one another in the battles that we face. And you probably know this from experience, how it makes all the difference when someone comes up alongside of you and listens and cares and prays and encourages as you face the battle. Look around. If you're in a battle right now, look around, because it's likely that God has already put someone in your way to lift you up. And if you're in a battle right now, you might also want to look around, because there might be someone near you that needs some lifting up. Be kind. Be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle that you may know nothing about. This Friday, we have a great opportunity here in Mechanicsburg to look up and to lift up this entire community before God in prayer. And I invite you to watch this short video about how we're called to do that.
Last year at noon on Good Friday, more than 250 people from 10 Mechanicsburg churches gathered together to pray over our community. We gathered at 7 host churches, beginning with prayer, receiving maps with strategic points marked on them, places we wanted to make sure that we covered in prayer, like our community parks and library, the EMT, police, and fire stations. From there, we walked the town, and after 45 minutes of walking and praying, we gathered at the First Church of God on the square in Mechanicsburg. We gathered there to sing and to pray together, ending with the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, it was really a neat experience. We had arrived at the First Church of God kind of on the lawn, and to watch 3 or 4 different groups come together to pray in the center of the town was really neat. I think many of the groups that were praying didn't realize that there were more people beyond their group, and to see all those people come together was really a special thing. Then the idea for this prayer walk really came from a prayer walk that you had at your church. What was it like for you to kind of see all the churches participating in this prayer walk?
I just thought it was a great blessing for us. We had people gather from numerous churches at our site, and after we had some time together, we went in different directions. You know, there are so many things that can divide churches these days, and we're blessed here in Mechanicsburg with the opportunity to be as one, which was the prayer that Jesus prayed, that we would be one just as He and the Father are one.
One woman that came out of her store as we were walking downtown, down the main street there, she came out and she said, "Who are you? What are you doing?" And we said, "We're praying over the town here on Good Friday, coming together united in Christ." And she said, "What church are you from?" And we said, "We are from all of the churches in Mechanicsburg." And she was so excited to see that, to see us and to hear us. And she was blessed by that, as were we. As we think about those stories and going forward, we're excited as we're planning for this year's event, for sure. There will be a number of host churches available for people to come and join with us. Also, prayer stations will be set up at the First Church of God for people that have problems with mobility and they would rather have an inside place to pray with us.
And one of the new things we're doing this year, we've added some other sites besides churches. Groups will be starting to pray at Mechanicsburg Memorial Park, at the Mechanicsburg High School, and also at the middle school. And we really want to include people from Upper Allen Township. There's a lot of kind of overflow between the borough and Upper Allen. And even though your church may not be in the borough itself, we'd love to have you come out and join us.
You know, it's really been encouraging over these years to see the churches come together. Mm-hmm. And right now we have pastors from 26 different churches, 14 different denominations that are part of our pastors network. And the opportunity for us on Good Friday to pray together is just another way that that we can serve the community as the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Our vision is that we might fulfill Jesus' picture for us in the Lord's Prayer, that His kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. So we hope that all of you will join us on Good Friday for the prayer walk.
So as that old man in the purple shirt said, we hope that that all of us can come together as a community as we would lift up this community in prayer on this Good Friday. So we're called to look up and turn our battles over to God. We're called to look around and to see the people that God has sent to lift us up in the battle. And then there's this last thing at the end of the story that I think is most important for us. And that is that in the battle, Jehovah Nissi calls us to look ahead. Look ahead. Let's look at the rest of the story. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his army with the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a reminder on a scroll and read it to Joshua. I will completely wipe out the memory of Amalek under the sky. Moses built an altar there and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "The power of the Lord's banner. The Lord is at war with Amalek in every generation." Now, I believe that when Moses pointed to the power of God, he was not just talking about the power of God to defeat a mortal enemy named Amalek, but he was talking about the power of God to be with us in whatever battle we might be facing. On Palm Sunday, we might look at the palms as being something like banners. As citizens waved them as victorious kings entered the city, so on Palm Sunday we wave palms and we remember our king who entered Jerusalem. And God's Messiah was coming to win a great victory for us. He entered the holy city, but he was looking ahead. He was looking ahead to the cross, looking ahead to the resurrection, looking ahead to salvation offered freely to you and to me in the battle. The Lord Jesus, whose banner over us is love, invites us to look up, invites us to lift one another up, invites us to look ahead to the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Lord.